Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing, Malia?
Alhamdulillah, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. So I wanted you to come on today because I was hoping that you could explain a little bit, because it seems to be a lot of miscommunication between what is really a homemaker and also what is a career woman exactly. And what I'm getting a lot of feedback about is people are thinking that a homemaker is just a woman that stays at home and sees to her husband and kids, and she literally has no other life. And that is just so far from the truth, because you and I are homemakers, but we have other things that we do. I'm getting now ostracized because they're calling me a hypocrite, because they're saying I tell women not to work, which I've never done, but and they're saying, but you have a business, which honestly was a hobby really that turned into something, and that's for another day. Well, my point is, like, I just felt, let's get together and try to explain it. Maybe we can start eliminating all the ignorance about what it means to put your family first and then have time to pursue other hobbies and career that women just seem to be thinking is going to save them somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit. I've just had quite a Twitter storm in the last week.
No.
You know, bombarded with all these negative, you know, messages. But
I'm assuming that those negative messages are coming from women or moms or people who have only career as their center of attention. And so they probably have no idea what it means to be a homemaker. For them, it's kind of like a part-time thing or something that they just have to deal with. So I'm so sorry to hear that you had so many negative comments coming your way. It's unfortunate when somebody doesn't understand the stance of another person. They don't take the time out to ask and maybe see their life on a regular day and then make a statement. It's unfortunate that people do that.
There were some people that did ask questions, and the problem was when you start answering, they're not satisfied, and then it becomes one thing after another. And you know, when you are a mother, in both of us homeschool as well, and that you don't have time to be online answering tons of comments, and that it's just another kind of world. But before we carry on, I want to introduce you. You are somebody that's doing amazing work online. I don't want to miss that introduction, and also to share, to tell everybody where they can find you. My guest today is Malia Mahmood, and she is a wife and a mom. She has over 20 years experience, and she's also a homeschooling mom, as well as an Islamic study school teacher for public school kids and a student of sacred knowledge. She enjoys homesteading, podcasts, and natural healing. And that's exactly what you also provide, sort of knowledge and mentoring and that for women who want to learn how to do that. Because as you're well aware, you know, I'm getting some women that are saying, oh, please, it's obvious. Women have been doing this for centuries. And I'm like thinking to myself, I don't know where you've been, lady, because women don't know how to do simple things anymore, like homemaking and sewing and having kids. Like, And then, you know, people are saying, but how do you know? And I'm like, I'm mentoring these young
people. Right, exactly. Yes.
So I'm like, you see how you can never win. You just get bombarded with questions, and you're just one person trying to answer the world
I think the best way is this approach right here, where we have podcasts and we speak about certain topics, because there's just so much to say. And I'm sure there's millions of questions, and I tend to not even see those questions because I don't have the time to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. I make a statement when I can, just to inform people of what's going on, to see my side, right? Because unfortunately, I feel like our side is not out there. Maybe because the women who are actually living our side are too busy dealing with so much that's on their plate that is really important in life. Right.
That's so
and the ones that are really loud and maybe sound a little bit obnoxious and very rude, unfortunately, are the ones who are not living in our shoes. And so it's easy for you to criticize somebody you have no clue of. And I, unfortunately, they have the time to be on their phones to be on Twitter. But there is a huge population of women, homemakers, doing beautiful things.
Mm.
And sadly, it might be the very few of us representing them, but we will do the best that we can because the world needs to know that this is an amazing thing to do.
Yeah, no, and true. It's very fulfilling and filled with contentment. And, you know, I just had mentored a young girl today and she was just saying, I was told that my career was going to make me happy. One of my tweets actually that went viral was me telling mothers to train their daughters to learn these homemaking skills. The moms are putting their unfulfilled dreams on their daughters.
Right.
Those exactly. daughters, they telling those daughters, go have a career because they
right.
save you from being abused.
Supposedly.
And it's good. Yeah, supposedly, because one person actually sent a comment and said, if the career and success saved you from abuse, then why are actresses and popular people getting abused? Right. So mm-hmm. I thought that was a good comment. She was also saying that they tell us that career will make us happy, but I'm sitting here, I've done my career and I'm miserable.
Right.
And I'm just like, these are the things they're not going to say in the open because they're going to get ostracized for it.
Right, right. And they're just going to keep it inside because I know many people around me who are in the same exact position. They hate mm-hmm. their careers. They are resent that they have to get up and work. But like once they get used to a certain amount of income coming in and they're spending it, it's very hard to pull that back. But they also are very frustrated when they're home because, like you said, no one taught them life skills. And yeah. so now they have to juggle both.
Yeah.
And so they sound very miserable, which is sad, but they will never admit it because then it places a statement on what type of a person they are because okay. they'll be judged. So they just kind yeah. of deal with it as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And sadly, it doesn't go in a right direction because yeah. if you're not happy in your situation, then your partner, your spouse, you're having difficulty with them. You eventually are not happy with your kids because they grow up into a life where you haven't raised them with the proper tools. And now you have this adult child
yeah.
that is not necessarily your really good friends, right? And so everything just kind of snowballs. And it's really sad. I feel for them. It's not like I'm sitting here. Yeah.
Or you feel for these people that you met for.
It's not that you're sitting here and we're looking at them in a negative way. We feel for them because we're women. They're women. Of course we care for their well-being.
Exactly. Right? And I'm so glad you brought up that point because I've been accused. One of the things I keep getting accused of is that I am a pick-me girl. I'm not
what
a girl.
That?
Thanks for the compliment.
What
I'll
is that?
Like, wow, that
sounds so funny.
Well, I had to look up the definition because God. I was like, I was being insulted and I didn't know what I was being insulted about. I looked it up and I guess it's those girls that want male attention. And
oh, dear.
I just want to say I'm already married. No. Again.
Actually, at our age, Zaki, I think that's the farthest from the truth ever. That might be accurate for somebody in their 20s or 30s. Yeah. Or like... Poor grandma's almost close to
I would, right?
Well, exactly. So that's far from the... I just laugh at that and
it was
just,
actually funny.
You know, but passive.
I was actually thinking that compliment. And then, you know, because they would just say that constantly. And it's like you want male attention, and you're willing to put down your fellow sisters for male attention. And I thought to myself, wow, I think I could do that much easier than what
right.
I'm doing right now. Right. Why would I right. do it this way? Second of all, that's what you said is so true. It's like the reason we are doing this is because we love our sisters. We see how they're suffering because mm-hmm. we have yes. such a broad community. We have the yes. online community and the offline community. We both right. part of many initiatives. And then bringing that in the mentoring, which you do as well, we hear the side that no one hears because these women are afraid to say it. And the young lady today said, when she says that she wants to get married and she's young, so they all say, oh, why are you going to get married now? You have so much to enjoy. And I'm thinking to myself, as Muslims, you can't enjoy fully because you are not married. So those girls who are giving advice are sometimes also non-Muslims mm-hmm. and they have freedoms. Besides that, she said they don't have great lives. I want to mention this point. she mentioned that her friends who do have boyfriends and stuff, there was abuse even there, and they had career, they had freedom, they weren't married. So we have to move away from the stigma of marriage equals abuse. Having a husband equals abuse. Being obedient and listening to your husband equals abuse. Like, I mean, I don't know why that word got attached to marriage and men.
I don't see how a woman wouldn't be abused any other way. It's not just because of marriage. They can be abused being single, right?
Oh.
But they might not identify it as abuse because this is maybe the first relationship that they're in, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that there are so many issues in society, sadly. We have careers, but most of the work we do right now is out of the kindness of our heart, volunteering, because we've been there, we've seen it, and we I personally interact with children, with teens, of parents of moms go to work, who have a career full time. And so I see a different angle as well, besides working with the wives. And so when I see all these angles, like, it hurts me to see women like that. And sadly, there's not a lot of support when it comes to Muslim women towards Muslim women, because I also interact with non-Muslims and I see a lot more support out there. But I want there to be that support. Our intentions are, of course, to give back to our young women. Sadly, what we had in the past were the young would be mentored by their elder women, their aunties, their mothers.
Exactly.
That has disappeared. All of a sudden, we young women think that our mothers are not someone we can take advice from. Our aunties are not someone we have a relationship with anymore. It is just anyone we have a relationship with. It could be a non-Muslim that we're taking advice from, which is the worst thing you can do, of course.
Yeah. You know, we always being subtle and we saying we proud homemakers and we proud mothers and wives and we just get ostracized. So we sort of decided that we need to come together and we start to spread this message, because there's so many women that feel like this, like you said, Mania. We see them in the DMs and in the private messaging and in the mentoring session. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, firsthand that we sort of decided we're going to speak up for the women that don't want to be ostracized, because I wouldn't wish that on any sister to get bashed the whole day and to tell her all the wrongs and misinterpret her words. It's not fun. It's exhausting. I think a few years ago, I would not be able to handle this. I think with age comes wisdom, and you sort of, you toughen up a bit.
And patience.
And, oh my God. Stubborn. That is the key word. And you understand why Allah says that the believers, they are the patient ones, you know? So I never really understand that till I got older. I mean, it wasn't off topic, but it wasn't part of my questions, but it's always fun to talk to you, Mania. So the first question I want to ask you is, can you please define for the sisters, what exactly is a homemaker?
Okay, so when I think of the word homemaker, or a person who has taken on this really important task as a homemaker, that woman needs to understand that her responsibilities as both a wife and a mother, it doesn't stop there. It's not black and white the way we say it. Oh, well, she's just staying home to take care of the kids. She needs to understand that, or the world needs to understand that she is more than just these two roles. When she takes on this huge responsibility, she is the only one who can continue to foster peace, to have a place of rahma, mercy, and love in the home. So when everyone is out doing their own thing and beating their battles, going to work, dealing with school, their teenage kids, dealing with whatever they have to at work and fighting all the dragons, at least they know, because their mom has decided, or their wife has decided, I will make homemaking the most important thing. They know that they have a place where they can go for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important to understand, because it is the only way you will get that safe haven. There are kids that'll say, yeah, my mom has a career, but when I go home, there's no food ready. You know, the house is not very comfortable. Things are all messy.
Right.
Or my mom's not home. So if I have a problem, I go home, I turn on the TV, I turn on my computer, I watch some, you know, get entertained. I try to forget about my problems. But those children and that husband that has someone who is at home and building that beautiful safe haven always knows that when they go back home, they have somewhere to retreat to where they feel really taken care of. So the word homemaker is not given the justice that it should be. And for someone to look at it from the outside, first of all, I don't think they have a right to even criticize it. You need to live that role in order to understand how valuable, how important your role is in that house.
Yeah. Like you said, also, stakina, tranquility.
Right.
We're not the same. I mean, I'm going to say it and I hope I don't get canceled because not easy to get canceled for saying something so logical. Men and women are not the same. So Allah did not make our husbands nurturers, right? They can nurture, but they're not innately nurturing. I mean, a man is not going to make the house cozy. I mean, you're going to get the exception to the rule.
Right.
But majority are not going to make a cozy abode. They're going to just have the basics. And right. for them, what a man can live with and what women and children can live with is way different, as you know. So homemaking to me is not a woman who stays at home. I want to be clear about that. Even though I personally think a mother at home, especially when you have young children, is crucial. Even now, I'm noticing as my kids are older, I thought I would be more free. But yes, I am in one way. But in another way, I want to be there so that my teens are not getting up to no good, especially on the computers and that. So I like to be a present mother. And I've seen the benefits of being a present mother. And I know you have too. And I'm speaking from a lot of mothers that have chosen this path.
Well, I can give you a really good example that happened just this Mother's Day, right? Usually, and I'm not one to celebrate it, but my kids will say, well, you know, it's Mother's Day. We want to do something special. We want to do this and that. And I said, listen, all I want from you is a card and tell me something about how you feel. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And this Mother's Day, I got a card and my kids are older now. So my oldest wrote down, let me see if I can remember it. He said that, you know, Mother's Day is really not an Islamic holiday and why are we doing this? But I do want to say that I appreciate everything that you have done for me. Like, this is a college student, right? And then my second child was said how much he's going off to college right now. Mm-hmm. This is his first year. And he stated how he could have never done this without me being a part of his education, homeschooling him and helping him through. So like coming from boys, I don't know about you, but my boys are not. They're very macho, right? So this coming from them, like, really touches my heart.
Yeah.
And then my third one said, he's really cute. He's in high school. So he just started. And he said, you know, Mom, thanks for being a cheap therapist. And I thought that was the cutest thing in the world.
That is.
And then, of course, my daughter was like, you're just like, one. I know, right? My daughter was like, you're like, is it a four-leaf clover? You know, very hard to find, but lucky if you can. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, like I must have done something right, no matter how difficult the process was, no matter how much I've sacrificed. But when you hear things like this from your, they're all adults, they're all considered adults in Islam, they're all baligh. You really feel touched by it. Like I was crying.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I have done something right. Right. Because you're always questioning yourself.
Normally hate their parents.
Right. Kids, teenagers normally
nowadays
forget about saying something nice, writing something nice, you know. Normally they can't stand their parents. And so alhamdulillah, right? For believing in your instinct and doing what you know pleases Allah.
Yeah. And I do feel that the more you put in to your family, the more you'll get out. And a lot of the issues that I see happening, again, not all issues, you can say I'm getting pretty defensive, huh?
Yeah.
I almost can tell now when I'm going to get attacked. Like, if you're listening to this, sisters, please always take the best of my words and know that I'm not giving a blanket statement. And of course, everyone's situation is different. We're not talking about the sisters that are dealing with terrible conditions or even the sisters that have to go out and work for their families due to need. We're talking about the mothers that have a choice, that feel that career is so important and more important than the family. And what we all be saying is, is we chose to put family first. We chose to be homemakers, which doesn't mean we never went out and worked. We chose that because we wanted to be present for our family. And now we're seeing the benefits. And yes, it's difficult. And yes, it's exhausting. And that's why one of the things I mentor women on is how to take care of themselves. Because you can't just give and not replenish yourself. And there's a give and take. So you're not sacrificing yourself for your husband and children. You are being a nurturer according to your fitra. Mm-hmm. But then afterwards, when everything's done, which doesn't take the whole day, you go take time out to take care of yourself, to do your hobbies, to have a job, to sell something, to study, to educate yourself. That's just the way I think of it. Is
right.
So well, why has it become so complicated?
Right. No, a mother who decides to be a homemaker, what they're saying is that my priority, my first focus is taking care of my kids and my husband and the house.
Yeah.
Exactly. After that, I still have a life. Yeah. Volunteer. I have a part-time job. I'm trying to educate myself. I have things I do with my friends. It's not like that is the only thing we do.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we had to do this podcast, because we just kept on being told, like, I mean, I think it's just so horrible to call someone a hypocrite and saying one minute you're telling women to be homemakers and the next minute you're working. Like, do you even know what a homemaker is?
I think when it comes to Muslims interacting with other Muslims, they should have an adab.
I have
to realize that this is a Muslim. Muslims have, they fear Allah, right?
Yeah.
They have the best intentions. You have to look at another Muslim and believe that their intention is good.
Exactly.
Just the fact that they're Muslim. And so for you to cuss or criticize or call someone a hypocrite is a horrible thing to do. I mean, you should really hold yourself back, everyone you are. You know, fear Allah, like your words are going to be held against you. We're not out there criticizing people. You and I were helping other women. If something sounds like it's not working for you or it doesn't sound right, why don't you question it? Why don't you ask for more, you know, understanding instead of making negative remarks? Like, that's not a Muslim. That's not what a Muslim does. That's not the adab of a Muslim.
Right, right. And one of the things also I was thinking to myself is, if those women or men that are attacking you when you are saying something that's noble, why don't they go make an account for themselves and go and propagate what they believe is better than what we're saying?
Right.
But you'll notice those people don't do that because it's hard. It's hard work. And no one wants to be criticized and answer tons of comments every day. So it's like so easy and so cowardice to hide behind a screen and come there and attack someone, take their words out of context and put words in their mouth as well. So in a sense, like, it shows a bit of the worst side of humanity. And I guess what we have to never fail to do, and this I'm saying to anyone who's doing this kind of work and gets criticized a lot, is you cannot lose your hope as a believer, because that's really all we have, our faith and our hope. And if we lose any of those two, we're not going to make it. You know, we will get lost. So to me, I don't know how people survive without faith. I think that's the one thing that keeps me strong. And I also think that, like you said, you know, it's just we don't go on other people's accounts that we don't agree with and go and bash them. Like, I don't even understand the mindset. So maybe that's why I'm so shocked by it. Because to me, when you don't like what somebody says, you leave, you unfollow, you keep your mouth quiet, you know?
Yeah.
Unless, of course, understand if somebody is blatantly causing fitna. I'm not talking about those situations. We have to know, you know, what battles to fight. So the next question is, what would you consider a career woman? Because I think another thing that's happening is women have been sort of confused between career woman, having a job, and being a homemaker who has a career. So maybe you can clarify all those, you know, those terms.
Well, somebody who's a homemaker and has something on the side, most of us are in that situation, right? Because most of us have to take care of our house and our kids and everything. So we're basically juggling between the two, but our priority is definitely the kids and the house and the husband. Someone who has a career, they have chosen to prioritize their career first and foremost.
Okay.
You know, and I know many people will say, well, I have no choice. I have to work. Yeah. Right? Yeah, right. Now, if you're in the situation where you have someone that you 100% trust take care of your kids and the house, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's a nanny, you know, something, then alhamdulillah, you have full faith that this person will do as good a job as you would. And so you've taken care of your situation. You've crossed all your T's, you've dotted all your I's, you're good, right?
Yeah.
But most of the people who have chosen a career over as their first choice and priority, they haven't done that, right?
Mm.
They haven't. They kind of find whatever they can to put their child in some babysitting, any place, and they don't know who the person, the caretaker is. Usually it isn't one person. Usually it's, sadly to say, I was planning to do this. Anyone who's showing up that day, we don't know. They have focused on their career at the expense of their family and their kids. Now, if we go into the situation where people will say, well, I have no choice. I have to pay for the bills. What do you want me to do? Because this is usually what people say. I've been there. Right. I've been there. My husband and I, when we first got married, we lived in the most expensive city.
Mm-hmm.
And the year that we were blessed with a child, we went from two very good incomes to one.
Right.
And yes, it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
We had to sacrifice. We had to cut back. We had to say, we're not going to go on vacation. We're not going to eat out X amount of days. You know, we're going to make this work for the sake of this child that we love so much.
Yep.
Right. And it was a choice that we both made. I was primary maker of that choice, but we spoke about it. We discussed it. We made plans how we were going to push it. Because I know it's not easy to go from two incomes to It's very difficult, especially today's world and how much everything costs and the standard of living and everything.
Mm.
But when you live a life and you have certain expenses and you have chosen to spend your money in certain places, and it's not a necessity, like a daily necessity, it's more like a something you just enjoy doing.
Yeah, luxury.
A luxury, right?
And Malia, I don't think that people nowadays, and maybe it's in the West, we don't know the difference between a need and a want.
Hmm.
I think when we go have our nails done or a haircut, or we basically buying, one lady said on a comment, that's why I'm bringing this up. She said, we think our $21 eye cream is a necessity. And I'm thinking to myself, that's exactly how it is. Some women don't know the difference between necessity and want. They also bashing husbands a lot because they're not ambitious enough, they don't make enough. But if your husband is providing for your needs, he's doing his job. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a special skincare regimen, mm-hmm. that is not his job to provide right. that $100 a month skincare regimen.
Right.
And I think that's what women are starting to think. It's like, as long as I need it, it's a need.
Right. Right.
You know, exactly. And maybe we need to do a podcast just on that, because what is a need versus a want? I'm not talking about other countries because I know things are different there, but definitely in the first world countries, we're very spoiled.
Yes. And the other thing is that we don't know what it means to live. We've been raised very comfortable.
Yes.
Right. Our parents may have been the first generations that came here and struggled.
Mm-hmm.
We might have seen a little bit of that struggle, but as they worked and struggled so much to give us what they wanted to give us, we've lived a very comfortable life. Now, because we are married and we're the next generation and we have gone to college and we have good jobs, we're living a very good life, right? And another thing to really think about is that even though many people don't want to admit to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written down ar-rizq.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And I know it's very hard for people to swallow this sentence. It is. But I'm telling you, if something is supposed to come your way, if there is something you're supposed to wear, you're supposed to buy, you're supposed to eat, you're supposed to use, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it to you. It doesn't always come from your salary.
Exactly. And I think we've become almost arrogant, because this is what a lot of, and I'm going to say this, and look, I'm already hated, so I think I'm getting more gutsy, is women especially have become more arrogant. And we are thinking that we save our family, we're saving our husband, we constantly in this, I am superwoman and my husband needs my salary and my kids need a salary because it will make us a bit have a better life. No, that's not your job. And second of all, like you said, risk is from Allah. It can come in different ways. It's not only monetary, it's but I've seen
right. Exactly.
You know, Malia, that we also live on a one income. And I don't know, I get bashed for my work, which I do not make a lot of money. I actually do it as a nasiha. And literally, if people had to see how much I earn every month, they'll be like, oh my God, like it's not a lot because I don't have time. Like I work part time. I literally work in between my responsibilities. So I don't have a lot of hours. But we a family of eight and we live off one income. And I don't buy a lot of stuff. And I'm very frugal. And I make a lot of stuff. And I know you the same. I budget. I coupon. I'm not fussy about, oh, my children have to have name brands and that. There's certain things I think it's good to buy quality, but things that just don't last long, I don't need to have that quality. And you become suddenly the smarter woman. And I had aunties who did this. And those aunties, I look at them now and I think those are the superwoman. They put their families first, but they always like my one aunt used to make samosas and basically put her son through college. And there was this other aunt who literally sewed linen, cute little tea cozies and stuff. And she paid off the house. And so this is not a career. This is women who are assisting their families and their husbands, but their husbands are not asking them to. They're doing it because they have some spare time. Mm-hmm. They have hobbies. They have things. They want to keep their mind busy. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing. Like I literally tear up when I think of
and
work like also, that. And you're one of them, by the way.
Right. And they also, you know, they also know that their hard work, their perseverance is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the number or the amount that they get on a check. Same thing with me. Like we live off of one income. And yes, I do have a part-time something, but I work for the masjid. So most of my work is like you, I want to give back to my community. Right. Why? Because, you know, Allah has blessed me so much. Why not? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And for us to think, oh, I can make my kids happy because I can buy them name brands and I can do this and I can take them on vacation whenever they want to. Really think about it. Do you think your child will become a grateful, down to earth, humble human being adult if you give them everything that they want?
Oh, no, that's true, because you're trying to also raise kids that are not going to be spoiled brats, you know?
So I hope, inshallah, from the efforts that we're making and the intention that is to not only educate others in who we are and where we stand and how we've lived, but to also bring Muslim women in general together so that we can have these open-ended conversations so that we can understand each other. It's the effort and the intention is really good and pure.
Yeah.
I hope, inshallah, that all Muslim women listening to this podcast, reading our tweets, or seeing us on Instagram, realize that our efforts are for the good of Muslim women in general.
Yeah, and right? Humanity also. I get this question a lot because you had mentioned, and I had mentioned as well, how, you know, we want to put our family first, and sometimes you have to be at home for that. So what about women doctors and females? They want to go to women doctors, and that's why women have to be in these professions. And it just, that keeps coming up, the same argument. It's two of them, actually. Khadija radiallahu anha was a career woman. But I think debunk that a bit. You know, there's a lot online. But the second one is, what about the professions that need women so that you can have your modesty? So can you just give that last answer?
The professions that have that need women,
that's why women should have careers, because to save the modesty of the other women. Is that, don't you want women doctors and don't you want female gynecologists and that? So I can say something a little bit to that, is that's why not every woman is going to be a mother.
Right.
And not every woman is going to get married. And there are some women that have a different path. And so no one's saying don't become a doctor or do a profession that's high. It's just not the norm again. It's like there's going to be some, because generally there aren't a lot of women that go into those professions, because it's very time consuming. It's very difficult. And when you want to have a family, it's hard to juggle both. I know lots of women who became doctors and they don't practice anymore. So that was something that just came up and I was like,
yeah, and we're not saying that all women need to be homemakers only. I did state at one point where if you have a career as your priority and your children and your home, if you have children and you and your home and your husband is being taken care of, then by all means, focus on your career, right? But for the majority, I think, or women who are, you know, putting that effort and going into those careers that need women to be there, that's fine. But if you're struggling in raising your kids as a homemaker, you might want to focus more on your kids and your husband before you wake up one day 10 years later and wonder, what did I do? What didn't I do? I've spoken with women who have literally been in tears trying to take their kids to daycare, knowing somewhere in their heart they shouldn't be doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's very sad. I'll be honest. That does break my heart. And of course, not again talking about the ones that do it out of necessity, like the single moms. And
yeah, I'm not talking about
that. My specialty is married mothers. And so I do sometimes give advice for women who are mothers, single mothers and that, but it's really not my specialty. I don't like to talk on something that I have never experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, I'm not thinking of those sisters, but certain things will apply to them. I think also the other thing is look at statistics and how many women are in certain kinds of careers that it doesn't mean now we all have to have the same roles because some women are becoming doctors. It's a small percent. Again, it's not the norm. We mostly talking to the majority of women, and we mostly talking to, I'd say, even women that are in first worlds and in the West, because we can't talk about situations or countries that we're not in. Mm-hmm. So I want to clarify that as well. So is there any final words before I just do some
Other than, you know, I just pray that our Ummah comes closer together, and in living in this social media outlet, it doesn't tear us apart. It actually helps us to understand each other in the situations that we are.
Yes, I mean, and Sister Malia and I didn't prepare anything. We just came onto this podcast and we had these questions that we felt we needed to answer, but we hope to do more. And I want to share some places that you can find work of Sister Malia, which is on Instagram, and her handle is Muslim Mom Talk. She shares such wonderful homemaking tips. She shares gardening. She shares sacred knowledge. She shares motherhood and homeschooling. And you will also find her. She has her own podcast as well, which is called Muslim Health Talk. Women are asking us, please, can you just speak up more? So whatever we can fit into our busy schedules, alhamdulillah, we'll do that. So I think I covered everything, right, Malia?
What was your handle on Instagram and Twitter and other
places? Mine is just my name, zakiaali.com, okay, or at zakiaali on all the places. But right now, my Twitter's been quite active. That's where I post the most. And you can always email at hello@zakiaali.com. Okay, Malia, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was fun just chatting with you.
Yeah, it's always fun. I know we've done some things before, and I'm going to leave those on the podcast as well. I'm sort of revamping it. I meant to do a better intro, but I know how busy you are. And I was like, let me catch you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Okay. So we thank everybody for listening. And inshallah, we will speak again in our next podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.